This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Faith Known for Integrity.
You know, sadly, it just seems today that there are very few people in the media or in politics who know how to do something this simple. Do they say yes or no? They always have to shade it. You get asked a question, yes or no question, and they answer it with something else. Now, when James brings this up as the foundation of all integrity, speaking the truth plainly, he's not the first person to say this. He had a half-brother named Jesus Christ, remember? And Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount, and Paul said it too. Now listen, anytime God says something three times in Scripture, you better know it's important to God. And so this thing is said three different times. Here's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 19. Paul says, "Am I like the people of the world?" Now listen, what are the people of the world like? "Am I like the people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is true, I am not that sort of person. My yes means yes, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, never wavers between yes and no." That's powerful scripture. Jesus never wavers between yes and no. Paul says, "I want to be counterculture in my integrity. When nobody else has got it, I want to have it. I don't want to be like unbelievers who never quite say what they mean. And when they say yes, they really mean no, and vice versa." He says, "And my motivation for my integrity is because I want to be like Jesus, who never wavers between yes and no." So James says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Paul says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And now, as I said, Jesus taught this exact same truth in the Sermon on the Mount. And his brother, half-brother, James, just repeats it in his book. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 34 and 37, here's what Jesus said. "I tell you," here's Jesus, "I tell you to never swear by heaven," which is God's throne, "or by the earth," which is God's footstool, "or by Jerusalem," his great city, "or even by the hair on your head," because you can't turn one hair white or black. Well, you can today, but in those days, they didn't have hair color. But he says, you can't change your hair just by wishing it. Just say, this is Jesus talking, just say a simple yes if you mean yes, or no when you mean no. Your word should be enough. Anything more than that is from the evil one. That's Jesus Christ talking. So now we've had James say it. We've had Paul say it. We've had Jesus say same thing. Said, if you're going to be my disciple, the disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to have integrity. And it starts with having a faith known for integrity. And he says to have a faith known for integrity, the first step is they just have to speak the truth plainly. Here's number two, how to have a faith, how to get a reputation for integrity. Share the truth completely. I speak it plainly, but I share it completely. What do you mean by that, Rick? Well, by definition, lying is an intention to mislead by either falsifying or by concealing. You know, you can lie by falsifying, or you can lie by concealing. And that means you deliberately hold back part of the truth. You know, you share half the truth. half a truth can be a whole lie. But God says, if you want to have integrity, you don't play games like that. You be straightforward. You share the truth completely. You speak it plainly, and you share it completely. Proverbs 10, verse 10 says this, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. Anybody want to give a testimony on that? When you've held back the truth and it caused trouble? Now, there are a lot of ways that we can hold back the truth. Okay, think about this. We can hold back the truth by not saying what we mean. We can hold back the truth by being silent, okay, not saying anything. We can do it by not meaning what we say. God says holding back the truth always causes trouble. What kind of trouble? Resentment, mistrust, superficial relationship. Now, I want to take this second principle, sharing the truth completely, and I want to apply it in three different ways. First, let me speak to those of you who are business owners for just a minute, because one of the areas that we often hesitate to share the full truth is when somebody is being let go or laid off or being fired. And you think you're being kind by not telling them the real reason they're being fired. And you're holding back the truth. You know what I've learned after 40 years of leadership? That always backfires. It just doesn't work. Job 13, verse 7 says this, why are you lying? Do you think your lies will benefit God? Do you think your lies will benefit God? Do you think you're being more loving by lying to them? What I've found out is this. The truth often hurts, but dishonesty leaves lasting scars. Truth doesn't leave a lasting scar. The truth often hurts, but dishonesty leaves a lasting scar. And when you don't tell the complete truth, you don't go that last 10%, you don't tell somebody why they're really being laid off, You're creating mistrust and all resentment and all those other things. Proverbs 28, verse 23 says this, in the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. It's true. Okay? It hurts, but it doesn't leave scars like dishonesty does. Now, I want you to notice the phrase it says in that verse, Proverbs 28, says, in the end, people appreciate frankness. Did you notice that phrase, in the end? Speaking the truth completely can be unpleasant at first, but in the end, it's better. See, what I'm saying is that in theory, everybody agrees honesty is the best policy. But in reality, when faced with potential conflict, we're just not so sure honesty is the best policy. In other words, everybody believes in the principle of truth, but we don't always believe in the practice of it. And that makes us a bad witness to the world. So one of the areas, as I said, is if you're a businessman, tell the truth completely. Number two, second area that you can apply this idea of sharing the truth completely is in your marriage. Because if you're hiding your true feelings, you are already undermining your marriage. You need to share the truth completely. You need to go that last 10% and deal with what the problem is. Painful? Yes. Helpful? Yes. Healing eventually. So let's go back now. To develop a reputation for integrity, you got to speak the truth plainly, and then you got to share the truth completely. Not half truths, but the whole truth. Third, this is really important. You must use the truth tactfully. Use the truth tactfully. In other words, in love. There is no place in Scripture, there's no place in this book where God wants you to use the truth as a club to beat people on the head. He didn't want you to beat people up theologically. He didn't want you to beat people up politically. He didn't want you to beat people up personally. He never wants you to use truth as a club. In fact, Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in a spirit of love. Now, that's a big one. Speak the truth in a spirit of love. I want you to think of somebody right now, okay? Wherever you're seated or listening to this, maybe even in your car, I want you to think of somebody that you would really like to help make a change. You go, they really need to make a change, and I bet I could help them. Okay, now I want you to realize that people change faster and people change easier when the truth is wrapped in love. You got to wrap it in love. Truth without love is always seen as an attack. If you don't love somebody and you're telling them the truth, don't even tell them. Because the Bible says, without love, I'm nothing. I'm a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It doesn't work. Any truth shared without love is seen as an attack. It is resisted. And if you say something offensively, guess what? It's going to be received defensively. That's why God tells us to always speak the truth in love. You say, well, Rick, how do I know when I'm speaking the truth in love? Well, it's really quite simple. Who are you trying to benefit with what you're saying? For whose benefit are you saying this? If you're saying it for your benefit, it's not in love. If you're speaking the truth for their benefit, well, then it's a different issue. Ephesians 4:29, speak only, listen to this, only, speak only. This is the only thing you should speak. Speak only what is helpful. Okay, is it helpful? If it's not helpful, don't speak it. Speak only what is helpful for building others up. Not yourself up, others up. Speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Not according to my need, according to their need. That it may benefit those who listen. Not my benefit, but them. If you want to just get something off your chest, don't call it speaking the truth in love. If you want to put somebody down and club somebody with the truth, don't call it speaking the truth in love. You speak only what is helpful for building them up according to their needs, that it benefits them. Those are the four qualifications of speaking the truth in love. Now, just because you're ready to share the truth doesn't mean they're ready to hear it either. You need to ask yourself, are they ready to receive this truth? That's part of love too. Okay? That's part is that you use the proper timing. You need to remember this next verse, Proverbs 12:14, there on your outline. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. So you want to wound, you want to heal. You want to help, you want to hurt. The solution, if you're in a conflict right now with somebody, the solution, because you're having a conflict, the solution is not deception, but tact. Tact. You might want to write that down. The solution to my conflict is not deception. It's tact. You have a choice to either hurt or heal. You have a choice to either make a point or make an enemy. A lot of people, when they go out witnessing, they're more interested in proving a point than winning somebody to Christ. Do you want to make a point? Or do you want to make an enemy, or do you want to make a friend and a convert? Which are you more interested in? Now, what I want to recommend is that if you got a conflict going in with somebody, here's what integrity does. You plan your presentation, okay? Especially your introduction, okay? You know, there's something between you and somebody else. You plan out what you're going to say, and then you choose the right time that's best for them, not when they're tired. Not when they're pressured, not when they're hurried. Proverbs 16:23 says, intelligent people think before they speak. That's another verse our leaders need to learn. Intelligent people think before they speak. They don't just run off at the mouth. Now, this verse you've seen many times before, Ecclesiastes 8:9, there's a right time and a right way to do everything. So love says, I'm going to do it at the right time and the right way. Now, let's review. To develop a reputation for integrity, you speak the truth plainly. You let your yes be yes and your no be no, and you don't go swearing on a stack of Bibles and having to call other people in. You just let your own character be the witness. You speak the truth plainly. You share the truth completely. You use the truth tactfully and lovingly. And here's number four, live the truth consistently. Oh my goodness, that's the one we all need to work on. Live in the truth consistently. How different would people think of Christianity if we all lived the truth consistently? See, being honest 80% of the time, that's not integrity. It's like faithfulness 90% of the time isn't faithfulness. I said, honey, I'll be faithful to you all but one day a month. That's partial faithfulness is unfaithfulness. Partial honesty is dishonesty. Being honest is all the time integrity. Ephesians 4:15 says this, let our lives lovingly express the truth. Okay, this is living the truth. Let our lives lovingly express the truth in all things. Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. If we would do that as Christians, if people like what they saw, they would listen to what we say. You see, when you live without integrity, you're only hurting yourself. Proverbs 11:3 says this, people who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. People who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. Now, I mentioned earlier that integrity is a requirement for leadership. In other words, in Scripture, in order to be a leader, you are required to have integrity. Why? Because all leadership is based on trust. People don't trust you, you can't lead them. If you don't trust me, I can't lead you. People must have trust in the leader in order to be led. And all trust is built on truth. If you don't tell people the truth, they're not going to trust you. Now, the Bible says this about one of the greatest leaders in history. In Psalm 78, it was about David, the king. Psalm 78, this is one of my life verses. Psalm 78:72 says this, David shepherded the people with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. He shepherded the people with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. This verse tells us the two reasons David was an effective leader: character and competence. Character and competence. He shepherded them, okay, with pure heart, integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. Character and competence, both are absolutely essential to leadership. One without the other is disastrous. You can be a good person, still be an incompetent leader. On the other hand, you can have really great gifts and skills and not have good character, and you suck. David had both. David had both. He shepherded them. That means he cared for them. That word shepherd is the word pastor. He pastored them with integrity of heart. That's character. And he led them with skillful hands. That's competence. By the way, personally, I'd like to ask you to pray for me that these two qualities will be true in my life as I seek to lead you through this pandemic. More than anything else, I want to lead you with integrity of heart. And I want to shepherd you with integrity of heart and lead you with skillful hands. Why was David so effective in competence and character? Because of his commitment to personal integrity. In fact, he wrote down his commitment. He wrote it down and put it in a psalm. It's called Psalm 101. And I want to encourage you to make Psalm 101 your personal covenant to live a faith that is known for integrity. I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 101, verses 1 to 7. This is David's personal commitment to integrity. And I would encourage you to make Psalm 101, 1 to 7, your personal integrity covenant. Here's what he says. Psalm 101. This is my song of commitment to your love and justice, O Lord. First, you start with commitment to love in the world and justice in the world. Will you commit to those two things? I want to see love in the world, and I want to see justice in the world. Okay? He says, this is my song of commitment to your love and justice, O Lord. And here's what he says. Now, listen to all these things. I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. Well, that's where it starts, and that's where it's hardest. I'll lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse, number two, I will refuse to look at anything degrading or demeaning. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, that's pornography. Yeah, it includes pornography. But let me tell you what else it is. A lot of social media that are degrading and demeaning of other people and other races and other religions. I will refuse to look at anything degrading or demeaning. That's a lot. Are you getting your vision from God, or are you getting your vision from television? If you're spending more time on television than in God's vision, I know where you're getting your worldview. I will refuse to support anything shameful or corrupt. Wow. I will not be dishonest, and I will have nothing to do with anything evil. This is Psalm 101. I will silence anyone who spreads gossip and slander about others. This is David talking, Psalm 101. This is his covenant of integrity. I will silence anyone who spreads gossip and slander about others. And I will not tolerate anyone who looks down on others. Instead, he says, I'll keep my eyes on the godly of the land, and they will be my heroes. Only those with integrity shall minister to me. David's the king. He's going, nobody's going to serve in my court who doesn't have integrity. Only those with integrity shall minister to me. No one who cheats or lies will ever have a position in my royal court. That was written easily 2,500 years ago, but it is relevant today as a newspaper. In fact, it's more relevant. I want to challenge you to get this outline, get that verse, Psalm 101, and make it your covenant of integrity. All right? Let's bow for prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your word, that it's piercing of our hearts and it discerns all of our motives and our mixed motivations. And Lord, we don't want to be a bad reputation for your family. We don't want our name to bring shame to your name. We don't want people to reject you because they reject us. Help us to live with integrity. Now you pray. Say, God, help me, Lord, to speak the truth plainly, to let my yes be yes and my no be no, to not say I swear on a stack of Bibles or I swear to God or anything else, but to just let my own character be enough to say yep or no. May we be known for that kind of integrity. And then say, Lord, help me to share the truth completely, to not do the half-truths, to have the courage, the fortitude to go the last 10%, realizing that it may be painful, but what's more painful are the scars of deception and deceit. Help me to speak the truth in love. Help me to share not only completely, but to use the truth tactfully. Forgive me for the times I've clubbed people with the truth and that I have not been loving. Help me to be tactful, to look at when they need to hear it, to only speak those words that build up, that benefit those who listen, that meet their needs, not what I need, but what they need. And then, Lord, help me to live with integrity, that I speak and I live and I think and I act and I realize that no matter what I say or do, whether it's on social media or whether it's in a business deal or in anything else, that I represent you. May you raise up leaders in our church in a world that's filled with leaders without integrity. I pray you raise up a new generation of leaders that are committed to speaking, living the truth in love. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, he will give you the power to do this. And you can say right now, Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but I want to become a person of integrity, and I can't do it on my own without you. You just say, Jesus, come into my life. Oh, I open myself to you. I don't want to be a deceitful person. I want to be a woman of integrity, a man of integrity. I want to stand with the truth, but I want to share it in love. So accept me into your into your family and teach me what I need to do. I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's 6 sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these 6 things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a 6-session DVD and workbook. As our way of saying thanks, go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to get in on this opportunity, so don't wait. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.